Well, happy Sabbath, everyone.
Happy Sabbath.
It's nice to be back here. It's been a couple weeks. Last time we were here was Passover night, which is felt like a long, long time ago, so it's nice to be back. Funny enough, I think it was the night to be much observed morning. We were in New Hampshire. We stayed at Ariana's parents' house. We woke up to 3 inches of snow. I know you guys got some in Simsbury, but we woke up to 3 inches of snow. I was like, where are we and what time of year it is? I'm so confused. So it's nice to be back here, and it's nice to be with you all. So the title of my message is Two Powers in Heaven. Two Powers in Heaven. A few weeks ago, there was a debate on YouTube. It was streamed on YouTube that kind of blew up the mainstream Christian YouTube world, I guess you can call it. The debate was viewed by over 670,000 people. And it was held at this summit, attended by many of these people who do this stuff on YouTube where they do a Christian apologetics. And the debate was this headline event. It was this big event. And it was between these two people. It's one of the most famous atheists of the day, and Alex O'Connor. He has a YouTube channel that's pretty popular. I think he has like 1 million subscribers. And then a Christian apologist who I had never heard of before, but he's pretty well known, named David Wood. David Wood. The debate topic was, did Jesus claim to be God? Did Jesus claim to be God? And interestingly enough, although Alex O'Connor is an atheist and David Wood is not, they both made an argument based on the Bible. It wasn't that he was trying to prove, Alex O'Connor's point wasn't to try to prove that Jesus wasn't, real. His idea was that he wanted to prove that Jesus didn't claim to be the Son of God. When he used his argument, and I'm not going to give the whole argument. It was interesting if you want to listen to it. But his whole argument was when Jesus called himself terms like the Son of God or the Son of Man, that he isn't referring to himself as the God of the Old Testament. This was his claim. More so that he was referring to himself playing this role and that on the behalf of the Father, and that the Father was Yahweh, right? And we use this term Yahweh, and it's an important one to hone in on because although it's a little bit debated on whether it's YHVH or JHVH or because they didn't have vowels back in Hebrew, this term, the Tetragrammaton, is important because it hones in on who God identified himself in Egypt. And so he made this argument that Jesus was not the God of the Old Testament and that when he made those claims in the New Testament, he wasn't actually claiming to be God. Right? And so you can pause here. Right? I could pause here and say, how would you respond to this argument? How would you respond? How would you respond that Jesus isn't the God of the Old Testament and that the titles he uses were just roles he played? I think that's a valid question, and I'm going to kind of talk about that a little bit here today. But the first thing that I think we need to address before we get back to this this discussion on the nature of God and Jesus Christ is the Trinity, right? If you don't know this, we don't believe in the Trinity. And then the whole mainstream Christian world goes, and they all gasp because that causes you to be considered a heretic in some circles, right? They would consider us heretics for not agreeing with the Trinity. And I Googled it, and it was like, some people would even go to say that you're not a Christian if you don't believe in the Trinity. So the question, and the thing is, of course, we aren't heretics. And we are, in the truest sense, Christians. So the question that you have to ask is, why does a lack of Trinitarian belief bother them so much? Well, many people who say they don't believe in the Trinity also make the claim that Jesus Christ isn't God. And yet, as a church of believers, we believe that Jesus is God. Which, if you go to our fundamental beliefs, I had it copied down, but it's a little bit longer. In UCG's fundamental beliefs, it clearly is stated that we believe that Jesus Christ was God on earth, and it's based purely on biblical teaching. And so then what's the problem? Well, as many of us know, our problem with the Trinity doesn't come from Jesus Christ. It comes from our problem that the Holy Spirit is a person. So in reality, if we were to compare the two, the main difference between our beliefs and the Trinitarian Christian beliefs is that we believe that the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and they believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, you could go through a whole laundry list, and it would be a whole message in itself of different reasons why we believe the Holy Spirit isn't a person. Right? You could go into the language of when it says he in a lot of the Gospels, it describes the Holy Spirit as he. The idea that the gender of the world of the words in Greek doesn't necessarily make something a personal being, right? In Spanish, you would say, I think la mesa is the table, right? But you wouldn't say the table is a girl. You would just say it's a table that has a feminine noun. And so then that's one argument. You could get into the fact that at the beginning of every letter that Paul writes is grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and he never includes the Holy Spirit. So that's another argument you could go. And then you could even go into the fact, I did some research, you go into the fact that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was never identified as a being. It was never identified as a being. It was always kind of how we viewed it, as a power, right? It's as God's power, right? The Holy Spirit's God's power. And so all of those things, maybe one day I'll give a message on that, but I wanted to go through that briefly because there are reasons why we don't believe in the Trinity. And I do think it takes nuance, so I don't think I could just cover it in just a sermonette. But now that I've kind of reviewed this topic of the Trinity, let's go back to the debate. Did Jesus claim to be God? Now, as a church, we would say yes. And of course, this mainstream apologist, David Wood, who Alex O'Connor was debating, who believes in the Trinity, would also agree that it was a yes. But as I was listening to the debate between David Wood and one of the toughest debaters in this atheist world that we have, the argument that David Wood decided to use is based on an early Judaic teaching. And guess what the name of that teaching was? The name of that teaching was the two powers in heaven. The two powers in heaven. Not the three powers in heaven, the two powers in heaven. So this man, who's a diehard Trinitarian, that believed that the best argument for Jesus' claim of divinity was based on a two powers in heaven approach to the Old Testament. And you know what? I agree. And so I was listening there, and so you have to ask the question, I had heard this before, you had to ask, what is the two powers in heaven belief? Well, during the Second Temple Judaism, which would have been from 530 BC when King Cyrus allowed the Jews to leave captivity and build the temple, to 70 AD when the temple was destroyed, that's considered the Second Temple Judaism, there was this presumption, they presumed that Judaism was strictly a monotheistic religion. But there's actually more to the story, and that's what, for someone like this guy named Alan Siegel, he wrote a book called Two Powers in Heaven. He was a scholar of ancient religions who studied the connections between Judaism and Christianity. He looked into these ancient debates on the nature of God, and he learned that there was a teaching in Judaism during the Second Temple period, the time we were just talking about, that believed there was two powers in heaven. And the amazing part is that Jesus lived during that same time period. And so there's a chance that they were debating the same belief at the same time that Jesus was alive, right? And so the reason for this belief that a lot of the people at the time, and not a lot, I don't know exactly the amount of people who had this belief, but it existed. The reason for this belief was rooted in the fact that throughout the Old Testament, there seemed to be some scriptures where Yahweh, the name most specifically given to God in Exodus, is used insinuating two different beings. Now, this occurs in many different ways with many different titles, and they use different ways to try to describe that. And I, again, don't have the time to go through all of them today. You can look into them if you're interested. But today I just look at three different examples. Okay, three different examples. The first one we're going to open up to is in Genesis 19. Genesis 19. We're hopping into Right after Abraham, I wrote Moses earlier and caught the spell Abraham we're talking about. Abraham's discussing with God whether what they're going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? There's this discussion that's happening. And then in Genesis 19, we're jumping forward. And then we're going to start in verse 24. See if you catch it. It says, then the Lord, Genesis 19, verse 24, then the Lord, Yahweh there, rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So if we look at the Hebrew words there, it says, we see here the Lord, the tetragrammaton, raining brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of heaven. So is there only one power in heaven or two? Why would it need to be specified that Yahweh rained fire from and brimstone from Yahweh if there was only one? Right? So that's one example. Let's look at another one. Turn over to Zechariah 3, verses 2. I'm only briefly touching on these three examples. There's a lot more. But it was interesting because this was the line of reasoning that this guy chose in this debate. Zechariah 3. And we're going to read in verse 2. Zechariah 3, verse 2. And the Lord, Yahweh, said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, the Lord who has chosen. Right, that first part. The Lord. We see here another example of Yahweh speaking about Yahweh in the third person. Why doesn't Yahweh just say, I rebuke you, Satan? Yahweh says, Yahweh rebuke you. And I want to use that word Yahweh a bunch of times because that tetragrammaton only ever referred to God of the Old Testament, right? It was the name that he gave him in Exodus when Moses met him on the mountain. Right, the last reference I'd like to talk about, we don't have to turn there, we'll look at another one, is that it comes in Daniel 7, 9 through 13. Daniel's been fasting, he's trying to get answers from God, he's given this vision, it's in Daniel 7, 9 through 13, he's given this vision from God where he sees the Ancient of Days, and then he sees the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven to the Ancient of Days. Now the idea, right, you could have some, maybe we could discuss that a little bit more in depth, but for now, the idea throughout the Old Testament is that only Yahweh rode on the clouds. And so you have this Ancient of Days who clearly depicts Jesus Christ, and in other ways it's interesting when you look at how he's described versus how Jesus is described in Revelation. But clearly here, this Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven was fulfilling a role that only Yahweh would fill. So therefore, from this picture, we see these two powers in heaven. Now, what's powerful about this is the verse that Christ quotes. This verse in Daniel 7, verse 13, is the verse that Christ quotes right before, and the verse that causes the Sanhedrin and the high priest to sentence him to death. You don't have to turn there, but in Matthew 26, 64 through 65, I'll read it for you. Jesus said to him, it is as you said, nevertheless, I say to you, Matthew 26, 64 through 65, I say to you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. It's verse 65. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying he has spoken blasphemy. And then if you skip down to the end of verse 66, they answered and said, he is deserving of death. Right? Jesus made a tremendous amount of claims about his ministry, but this one specifically was the one that pushed them to sentence him to death. Why? Because with this scripture, he claimed his divinity. Now, of course, there's so much to cover. I only covered a little bit, and I could give a sermon or Bible study on this topic maybe one day. But I wanted to talk about this today because I think that it's significant that in this high stakes, highly viewed debate, a Trinitarian theologian decided that the best argument for Christ's divinity is based on the two powers in heaven, which is not a Trinitarian argument. And yet, when you tell a Trinitarian that you don't believe in the Trinity, they might not even consider you a Christian. That's crazy to me. And I've noticed, if you listen to the people talk about the Trinitarian, they'll talk about Jesus Christ and God the Father for 99% of the time. And then they'll just sneak in the Trinity right at the end and just mention the Holy Spirit just to, you know, wrap it all up. And the funny part is, David Wood did that exact same thing in the debate. In the debate, David Wood even said, "We've got two powers in heaven, and Jesus is one of them." And if you're a Christian wondering why we're talking about two powers in heaven instead of three, where's the Holy Spirit? He's there. Right? Like, crazy. So I don't want to claim that I have a full and complete understanding on the nature of God in totality. I don't think we'll ever fully understand that until Jesus Christ returns. But even though our disbelief in the Trinity has caused Trinitarian Christians to label us as heretics, they actually agree with us more than they realize. And maybe we can use this to build our connections with other Christians who don't believe the same way that we do. Because awesome enough, our beliefs on the nature of God were inadvertently showcased on one of the biggest Christian stages a few weeks ago. So, brethren, let us thank God that we have such an awesome Bible with so much rich meaning and guidance. Let us thank God that he has allowed us to try and better understand who he is and who Jesus Christ is. And let us keep studying our Bibles, praying for understanding, and spending our lives learning to better know God, the Father, and Jesus Christ's Son in all their ways. And one day, we'll finally, fully, and truly be able to understand the two powers in heaven.